The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 15, text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 25th, 2008, in Klang, Malaysia.
So, tonight, here in ISKCON Klang, we are studying Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text number 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Dva viva varusho loke, chadaschakshara evacha, chadasarvani bhutani, kutasto chada uchyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible. And in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. As already explained, the Lord in His incarnation as Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutra. Here the Lord is giving in summary the contents of the Vedanta Sutra. He says that the living entities who are innumerable can be divided into two classes, the fallible and the infallible. The living entities are eternally separated parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When they are in contact with the material world, they are called Jiva Bhuta, and the Sanskrit words given here, chada sarvani bhutani, means that they are fallible. Those who are in oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, are called infallible. Oneness does not mean they have no individuality, but there is no disunity. They are all agreeable to the purpose of the creation. Of course, in the spiritual world, there is no such thing as creation. But since the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, is the source of all emanations, that conception is explained. According to the statement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, there are two classes of living entities. The Vedas gives evidence of this, so there is no doubt about it. The living entities who are struggling in this world with the mind and five senses have their material bodies which are changing. As long as a living entity is conditioned, his body changes due to contact with matter. Matter is changing, so the living entity appears to be changing. But in the spiritual world, the body is not made of matter. Therefore, there is no change. In the material world, the living entity undergoes six changes: birth, growth, duration, reproduction, then dwindling, and vanishing. These are the changes of the material body. But in the spiritual world, the body does not change. There is no old age, there is no birth, and there is no death. There all exists in oneness, chara sarvani bhutani. Any living entity who has come in contact with matter, beginning from the first created being, Brahma, down to a small ant, is changing its body. Therefore, they are all called fallible. In the spiritual world, however, they are always liberated in oneness. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata. Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, there are two positions, fallible and infallible.
So, in another number two,
the infallible position is very nice. In that position, there is no birth, no death, no old age, and no disease. But this fallible position is simply hell. We try to dress up this material world to make it appear to be a very nice thing. But it is actually a nasty place. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartinarjuna mam upechita kanteya punarjanmana vidyate. It is confirmed by Krishna. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest. All are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, he never takes birth again. Punarjanmana vidyate, he never takes birth again. So it is guaranteed by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that if you become his devotee, you will escape the hell of this material existence. We don't like to think that it's hell, do we? Because we still think we can enjoy. But we should take the words of Krishna and understand that this world is simply hell. Now you may say, but how can I be happy if I think that I'm living in hell? Is that a very good philosophy? No, our philosophy is not that you should live in hell. Our philosophy is to train you how to live in Krishna Loka at every minute. Even when you're walking in the midst of this hell,
you see,
Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam shamai pashyati nachaham. What is it? One who sees me, everything, and who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, tashyaham na pranashyami satchamena pranashyati. Tashyaham na pranashyami satchamena pranashyati. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So all you have to do, if you want to be happy, is to be Krishna conscious. You simply have to train your mind how to always think of Krishna. But we have a hard time doing that. Do you know why? Because we think, I'm the center of the universe. Why I should meditate on someone else? When is everybody going to realize that I'm the center of the universe? This is our diseased state of consciousness. I'm thinking I am God, you are thinking you are God. You see? So why should I meditate on any other God other than myself? I am God, you see. This is why we have a hard time becoming Krishna conscious. It is actually Mayavad philosophy. We're all contaminated by Mayavad philosophy. We're thinking we are the Supreme. You may argue with me, Sankarshan Prabhu, I don't accept it. What is your proof? Well, I have a proof. When someone goes to prison, they wear a prison uniform, isn't it? I've seen in the U.S. the prisoners sometimes work on the side of the highway. They have on their prison uniforms and they have chains. They call it a chain gang. When they put the prisoners out on the side of the road to do some work. So the point is, they all have their uniform, and if they try to run for it, everybody knows here's a prisoner because he has his uniform on. So this is my proof that every one of you here in this room, myself included, we are all thinking, we all have this contaminated idea that we're God. The proof is you have a prison uniform on right now. This material body that you have right now is your prison uniform. It is proof that you rebelled against the authority of the Supreme Lord. You may say, oh, this isn't very nice. I didn't come here to be told that I'm a criminal. But actually, this knowledge, this understanding will liberate you from all anxiety. Do not misunderstand. I have not flown all the way from America to Klang, Malaysia to criticize you. Okay? I have come here to enlighten you and deliver you from all anxiety. So when I tell you that your material body is a prison uniform, I'm not trying to criticize you.
I'm trying to liberate you. Because as you long as you identify that I am this material body, you remain entangled in the prison of material existence. Therefore, I want to liberate you from this false identification with matter. I want that each and every one of you here in this room that I will understand that you're not your body. You're not a woman. You're not a girl. You're not a man. You're not a boy. You have nothing to do with these material bodies. Your body is simply a garment. Just like here in this room tonight, I see many, you have a gray shirt, you have a white shirt, you have a black shirt, so many different, a red shirt, a green shirt, so many different colors of shirts. Like here's one gentleman wearing a green shirt. If I were to call you Mr. Green Shirt, would you like that? No. Because he doesn't always wear a green shirt. I would imagine sometimes he wears a white shirt also, you see. So he does not want to be identified as a green shirt because that's not him. But if I tell him he's a handsome, strong, young Malaysian, young Indian man, he becomes very happy. But that's an illusion. It's like you're not that green shirt, you're not a young, handsome, healthy Indian man. You understand? So in this way, we have to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We should not misidentify with these bodies. You see? If I tell some of the young ladies, you're really a pretty girl, they will like it very much, you see. But that's an illusion. You're not the body. So we have to get free of this conception. We have to realize this body is not me. In this connection, I would like to tell you a story that was told by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Now, you know, in India, when there's a wedding, part is a very big thing in the village, you see. The whole village, they take part in the wedding. It's a big thing. In the old times, they would marry a boy from one village with a girl from a different village, you see. That was formerly the system. So anyway, a big wedding was taking place. The villagers were coming from one village to the other village where the wedding was going to happen. And the wedding was going to happen the very next morning. And there was a huge body of water between the two villages. But there was no problem. There was a big boat there, you see. Ferry boat. But one problem was the sun had already set. It was nighttime. So the villagers, they said, "Boatman, boatman, wake up, wake up. It's an emergency. We have to be at that village early in the morning. So you have to row us all night long, you see, to that village." So the boatman said, "Okay," but he gave a very high price in rupees, you see. So the villagers, they got on the boat. And the boatman, he's rowing, rowing, rowing. The whole night he's rowing, 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 you see. And then when the sun comes up in the morning, the villagers wake up expecting to find themselves in the other village. But they can't believe it. They're still in the same place. The boat didn't go anywhere. They said, "Boatman, boatman, what's going on? You've been rowing the whole night. Why we haven't gone anywhere?" The boatman said, "Oh my God, I forgot to pull in the anchor." So this story is told by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So do you know what is the anchor? The anchor is, I am this body. As long as you think I am this body, I don't care how many rounds you may chant of Japa Mala. I don't care how many kirtans you may sing. I don't care how much prasadam you may cook and you may honor. I don't care how much bhakti you do. As long as you think you're the body, you're not making any advancement. That boatman was roaring the whole night, but he didn't go anywhere. Therefore, your first duty is to kick out the false conception that you're that body. You're not male, and you are not female. We act in terms of those designations within Vedic culture. That's all right. The spirit souls in male bodies are sitting on this side. And the spirit souls in female bodies are sitting that side. That is good. But that doesn't mean that you are a female or you are a male. It simply means you have a male body or a female body. That's it. But you're not the body. You're a pure spirit soul. So, if you want to get, we are studying tonight about the two classes of beings. The fallible and the infallible. What is one of the major differences between the fallible and the infallible? What do the fallible think? I am this body. What do the infallible think? I am not this body. So if you want to become infallible, you have to kick out the false identification with your material body. But we keep, even though we hear this in the lecture, we keep going back to this idea. The boy gets attracted to a girl, you see, because he thinks he's a boy. And the girl gets attracted to a boy because she thinks she's a girl. This is the false bodily conception. Sukadeva Goswami was completely beyond this conception. So we have to learn how to become like Sukadeva Goswami. completely transcendental to this false conception of the body. And when we come to this position, then we can speak Bhagavad philosophy very nicely, like Sukadev. Sukadev Goswami is the most empowered preacher. He is called Sukha. You know why he is called Sukha? You know in Sanskrit what does Sukha mean? Parrot, that's right. Now there are two understandings of parrot. One understanding is the parrot is a stupid bird and you can teach it to say anything. He doesn't know what he's saying. Just like in Fiji, there's a parrot. There's an island called Taviuni. All the devotees are farmers. And they have a parrot and they teach the parrot to say Haribol. So you just hear the parrot go, Haribol, 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 Haribol. But he has no idea what he's saying, you see. He's thinking, if I say Haribol, they will feed me, so I'll keep saying Haribol. So he has no comprehension. What is the meaning of Haribol? So that is one meaning of parrot. But that is not the type of parrot that is Sukha Goswami, Sukadev Goswami. That he simply goes on repeating Bhagavatam without knowing what he's saying. He just does it to get some prasadam. There is another meaning to Sukha. And that is when the mango fruit is pierced by the beak of the parrot, it becomes more sweet. So when Vyasadeva spoke the Bhagavatam, it was very sweet. But when Sukadeva spoke the Bhagavatam, by the touch of his lip, it became even more sweet. That's why he is called Sukadev. Because when he touches Bhagavatam, it becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. With each canto, Bhagavatam gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter because it's being touched by the lips of Sukadev Goswami. So if we can learn how to become free from the bodily concept, when we speak Bhagavatam philosophy, it will become very, very sweet. And we can attract everyone to hear this sweet message, you see. We can make a revolution here in Malaysia. Even the Muslims will come. I have seen in Turkey, I went there preaching to the Muslim people. I had a whole hall full of Muslims chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. They were chanting in great delight. We made a video of it. We have one video. They're feeling so much bliss in the kirtan. So if we can learn to chant very nicely without any bodily concept of life, then we can attract the whole world to this kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can bring the happy days of Vedic Dharma once again to this planet. Do you know that for millions of years the Vedic kings ruled the entire planet Earth? For millions and millions of years. The capital of the world was Hastinapur. That was the capital of the whole world for millions of years. Only in the last 5,000 years, because that Brahmin boy, he cursed the king, you see, the whole thing fell apart. But now we can bring back this golden Vedic age. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can bring back this glorious Vedic age. You may say it's impossible. But Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he also states, Sadjannador Janapangu Jadda Andhagana Premavanyaya Dubaila Jagachara Jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is Prem Tsunami. And it will inundate the entire world. Everyone will become drowned in this wave of Krishna Prem. That is the prediction of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He is an eternal associate of the Lord from the spiritual world. He is one of the intimate gopis who has appeared as a Goswami to give this Shastra. His words cannot prove false. His words must come true. So this Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world. It's not a question of if, it is simply a question of when. So the more we can free ourselves from the bodily conception and absorb ourselves in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare, the faster that day will come. So I thank you very much for your kind attention. Now I can ask if any of you have some questions. If you have no questions, I'm going to go home right now. I'm leaving. But if you want me to stay a little longer, you can ask some questions. After the 10,000 years is over, all hell will break loose. There'll be a 10,000 year golden era, and then all the devotees will go back to Godhead, and it'll be all hell will break loose on this planet. It'll be unbelievable hell. It's like in the African jungle, the little pygmy men. The whole planet will become little pygmy men. And if you live to be 25 years old, you'd be considered an old man.
Sorry.
இந்த பக்தி வாழ்க்கை நம்ம மோட்சம் பெறலாம் என்று. ஆனால் 10,000 வருடங்களுக்கு பிறகு என்ன ஆகும் என்று பிரபு கேட்டார். ஸோ அதுக்கு சந்தோஷம் பிரபு என்ன சொன்னார் என்றால், இந்த 10,000 வருடங்களுக்கு பிறகு எல்லா பக்தர்களும் நிரந்தரமாக கோலோகத்துக்கு போய்வார்கள். ஆனால் யாருமே இல்லாததுனால் இது நரகமாகிறது.
There'll be no milk, no milk, no fruit, no vegetables, no grains, simply meat eating, that's all. If you invite your friend over for dinner, that means you will kill your neighbor and eat your neighbor. Somebody invites you over for dinner, that means you're the dinner. The whole planet will be cannibals. Whatever Vaishnavas are left, they'll be hiding in the mountains, in the caves, for fear of their lives. It'll be a horrible night, horrible situation. Therefore, you should become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead now while you have a chance. Do not loiter in the cycle of birth and death. We advise everyone, take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Get initiated by the spiritual master. Initiated diksha. Carefully follow his instructions. Learn from him how to follow the great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada. And always inquire from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. In this way you will not see the horrible days of Kali Yuga. You'll be in Goloka Vrindavan. Any other questions? Does that answer your question? Okay.
What is the reason we fall from the spiritual world?
The reason you love the spiritual world, there's a saying in English, curiosity killed the cat. You thought, well, here we are serving Krishna. What would it be like if I was Krishna? If all the gopis were coming after me? I would really like to know what it would be like if I was Krishna. Krishna said, all right, you can try. I'll give you a place called Kuala Lumpur, you see. Where you can think that you're the supreme. And you can see how you like it. And when you're tired of it, you can come back and be my devotee again in the spiritual world. Next question. Yeah. For Grihastha to stay focused, first you have to chant 16 good rounds. If you really want to know the secret, strictly follow the footsteps of the previous acharyas, the Vaishnava tradition. Don't try to modernize your Vaishnava practices. You have two things. You give up all types of sense enjoyment. Just do your work and then do bhakti and nothing else. No enjoyment beyond that. Don't try to have enjoyment like a regular household is have. Just do bhakti and do your job, and that's it. So go to bed early at night as possible and get up by 4 a.m. Take your bath, put on tilak and your devotional clothes, offer Mangalarti with Gravastakam prayers. Chant six. If you have Tulsi, do a quick Tulsi Arti. And chant a Shringa prayer. Chant 16 good rounds, read the Bhagavatam, take your breakfast, and go to work. In this way, if you have good sadhana, you see, if devotees, if you get up late and think, well, I don't have my rounds, I use a clicker, you know, I'll chant while I'm driving, I'll chant at the. This doesn't have the same potency as you get up early and chant on the beads, you see. Follow the footsteps of the great acharyas like Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, chanting early in the morning and japa mala. It will give you great spiritual power. And always meditate on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was householder working job for British government. And always be in the mood of giving charity. In the Vedic culture, there are four orders. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. So, of the four orders, who earns money? Only the Grihastha earns money. The Brahmachari, he lives on charity. The Vanaprastha lives on charity. The Sannyasi lives on charity. So if these three orders don't work and they live on charity, then where are they going to get the charity from? Only from the grihasthas. So therefore, grihastha life, the austerity for grihastha life is to always be giving in charity, giving, giving, giving to brahmacharis, giving to vanaprasthas, giving to sannyasis. And if you want to advance materially, that is also nice. If you want to advance materially, that is also nice. Because then you have more power for giving in charity. Prabhupada explains a Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. So if Grihastha wants to make a lot of money, that's very good. But he has to give in charity, give in charity, give in charity, not hoard money. So if he will have very good sadhana and he will earn money for giving in charity and keeping his own comforts, that is also all right. But giving in charity as much as possible. Just like I am traveling all over the world as Vanaprastha. Now I depend on the charity. So you the Grihastha, they can give contribution for my plane ticket, you see, tonight. In that way you can make spiritual advancement as Grihastha. By contributing for my airfare. Because I'm not working, I'm just depending on charity, traveling all over the world with my wife Vishnupriya Maharaji. So that is example how by giving in charity, by having good japa, then you can have a very nice Krishna conscious household life. In this way, if you train yourself how to see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna, when you go to your office on Monday morning, you will see this is the energy of Krishna. Let me engage this company in the service of Krishna. And that way, even when you go to work on Monday morning, you'll be in Goloka Vrindavan. You understand? Yeah. Next question.
Malaysia. So I was telling Shiva the Lord's prayer. In Malaysia, many Indians claim that Lord Shiva is the Supreme. So how do we...
Yes, it is actually stated in the Shiva Purana that he is the Supreme. So, they are simply citing the statement of the Shiva Purana. So how are we to understand this? There are different Puranas in different modes of nature. There are 6 Puranas for the people in the mode of ignorance. There are 6 Puranas for people in the mode of passion. And there are 6 Puranas for those in the mode of goodness. And one of those six is for those who are in pure goodness. That is called the Bhagavad Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the Puranas, and the mode of ignorance makes you lazy. The mode of passion makes you greedy. And the mode of goodness elevates your consciousness. The mode of goodness elevates your consciousness. And the mode of pure goodness is completely beyond the modes. So the Shiva Purana is a Rajasic Purana. It actually increases the amount of passion. It does not elevate beyond the modes of nature. So that understanding that Shiva is the Supreme, it is for those who are greedy. Just like we have heard it said that Shiva easily fulfills material desires. It's for greedy people who want money and power and things like that. So they consider Shiva the Supreme. But they don't get liberated from the material existence. In other words, that is an understanding of those who are still within the modes of nature. It is a relative statement, it's not an absolute statement. The statement in the Bhagavad Purana is an absolute statement. Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam. So we have to understand the Shiva Purana's statement about Shiva being the Supreme is a relative statement, it's not absolute. It's relative to those who are cultivating Rajagun. Next question. Yes, sir.
There are so many gurus, but all of them have different opinions.
There's actually one guru only, and that is Krishna.
He's saying, you're not accepting another person's opinion.
We take the opinion of Krishna stated in Bhagavad Gita. There is one guru and that is Krishna. He speaks in Bhagavad Gita. Now we accept Krishna as Supreme Guru. Shiva also accepts Krishna as Supreme Guru. It is Parvati asked Lord Shiva, what is the best type of worship? Shiva said Vishnu worship is the best. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva, he refers to Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So we have nothing against Lord Shiva. We are devotees of Lord Shiva. Shiva himself says that Krishna is the Supreme. He appeared as Lord Shiva appeared as Shankaracharya also. And what did he say? Bajagovindam, 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 Mudhamate. So I am also a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So I accept the words of Shiva that Krishna is the Supreme. If Krishna says that Krishna is the Supreme, Shiva says Krishna is the Supreme, and Brahma says Krishna is the Supreme, why we should not accept? All the great Mahajanas, they all say Krishna is the Supreme. Svayambhur Nadada Shambhu Kumara Kapilomanu Palado Janako Bhishmo Balirvayasakirviyam. All the great Mahajanas say that Krishna is the Supreme. So who am I to argue with the great Mahajanas? The great authorities who have guided the Vedic civilization for millions of years, they all say Krishna is the Supreme. So, who is that upstart who disagrees with the great Acharyas? Thank you for your nice question. Next question. Yes, Maharaji. Enjoyment. Radha and Krishna, why is Krishna created Radharani? Because he wants to enjoy. Male, female, that is the principle of enjoyment.
Tell me the question.
Yeah, I'm asking her.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm asking her. What is the actual purpose of creation?
Why do the souls exist? Why do the souls exist? Male and female create another soul? Are you kidding? Krishna created all the souls. You're not creating any. Male and female don't create any souls. They produce the body, that's all. The soul, the body is just the garment. It's not the person. The person is, the body and the person are two different things. A man and a woman combine in marriage. They want to have a child. The soul is already existing, created millions of, already created by Krishna. But according to his karma, that soul enters into the womb of a particular mother. That's all.
What is the purpose of that attraction?
In this world, that is for procreation. Yeah. In this world, it's for procreation. Continuing the species. Nature's arrangement to keep the species going. You see. Male and female attraction is for increasing the species. If there was no attraction, we wouldn't have any. Who would bother having children? It's so much trouble, you know. The diapers, you know, screaming in the middle of the night. there was no attraction, who would want to do it? You know what I mean? Because there's some enjoyment of male-female, therefore we agree to that austerity. Otherwise, no one would bother to have children. So much hard work, a whole lifetime of hard work to raise those children, put them through school, you know. It's not easy being a parent. But because there's that enjoyment of male-female that compensates for the austerity of raising the children. Yeah. How do you distinguish between someone who has theoretically and practically realized this? Yeah. Well, one's called a jnani, the other's a vijnani. You know, one's a jnani, the other's a bhakta. To merely realize it theoretically without any practical realization is incomplete. And they will take many lives. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mang prapadyate vasudeva saramiti sa mahatma sadurlava. Only after many births and deaths will those who realize it theoretically actually come to the practical understanding. So the difference is those with theoretical understanding, they remain in the cycle of birth and death. It takes them many, many lives to come to the realization, the practical realization. So, if you can come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, you can get the realization now and get out now. Why go through millions of lifetimes? Gradually giving up material attachments, you see. The difference is liberation now. It's compared to a silversmith and a blacksmith. You know the difference between a silversmith and a blacksmith? The silversmith, he's all day tapping on the metal. Tap, 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 tap. Day after day, tap, tap, tap. But the blacksmith, one stroke, boom, finished. You see? So, one who is theoretically understanding I'm not the body, he's the silversmith. He's tapping, 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 tapping. And the bhakta, in one stroke, finished. Hare Krishna. Immediately finished. That's the difference. Next question. Then we need one last question before we end the lecture. There's no last final question. Then we will wrap it up. So, just to summarize what we've talked about tonight. Everyone listen up. There shouldn't be all this chatting going on in the background. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Papa didn't like this. You know, Papa got chastised when he was talking during the lecture. Bhaktisiddhanta chastised him. To talk during the lecture is an aparad, actually. It's aparad against the speaker. Vaishnava aparad. Shouldn't be all this talking going on in the background. It's aparad. So anyway, we thank you all very much for so nicely listening to this lecture and asking very nice questions. And we wish you all well on your pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.